Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show, go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues. Today's Issues. Also, you can get the AFR app and listen to this network anywhere you travel. Just get the AFR app, download it, take you about 60 seconds to download it or less, and then you can listen anywhere you go to American Family Radio, even if you don't have one of our radio signals that comes off a tower, the traditional way radio is delivered. Steve Jordahl joins us now.
Good morning.
Steve, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right, Steve, what do you have for us to lead off the news?
Breaking news this morning, Pennsylvania has certified the results of its election. Joe Biden, the victor there by 80,555 votes. And Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar certified those results this morning, and Governor Wolf signed them. So one more nail in the coffin, as it were. Although that might not affect any challenges, legal challenges, I suppose they can
nail in what
forward.
Coffin?
Did I say that? I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Not me. Sorry. I don't know if that makes it any harder for President Trump to still win his battle to retain the White House or not.
Oh, yeah, it does. Well, you certify a state's votes, in my opinion.
Then there you go.
It's final. Huh?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's final until it's not final, but
they haven't voted yet, yeah. Right?
The key is
it hasn't been heard in court in the Supreme Court. I understand that.
Yeah, December 14th. I keep mentioning that date. I mean, that's the Electoral College date where they meet. I mean, when they send those votes off to Congress on December 14th, I mean that's a train you don't stop. So, but certification is a big step in the process to get those electoral votes sent.
Yep.
got any good news, Steve?
Yes.
That's
actually
why we bring Steve on here, though. Steve is Captain Sunshine.
I am.
Every day on this show, huh?
I got good news.
Got his Barney purple on today.
I love you.
Yeah,
you
see,
love
there?
Me.
There you go. Let's hold hands. Kumbaya.
I am. I don't know if nobody can see our feed, can they? Just us. We have a...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You can't be seen on the Facebook feed.
I can't be seen on the Facebook feed, but just for everybody who wants to know, I am wearing purple today. It's a royal color.
Yes.
Nice. Good.
Still looks like Barney, but anyway.
Well, I have been described as a dinosaur before, so it's not exactly the first time. All right. You want some good news? I got some good news.
Yeah.
A federal appeals court Monday ruled that Texas and Louisiana can cut off Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood clinics. This reverses an earlier order. This was an en banc panel of justices on the Fifth Court overturning a three-judge panel. By the way, it had looked at this ban in 2015, and because they were deadlocked at 7-7 with only 14 justices on the panel, it stood. Trump appointed some more justices to the Fifth Circuit, and now the states have the ability, including Mississippi, which is in the Fifth Circuit, they have the ability now to block funds from going to Planned Parenthood.
Walker?
Yeah, that's excellent news. This has been in litigation for a couple of years now. But, I mean, this reaffirms the 10th Amendment, which is, you know, states' rights to govern themselves other than things that are clearly federal issues. So this is a state issue, and this will open the door, if you will, to other states, mainly conservative states, doing the same type policies, which is a good thing.
You know, as a side note off of this, one thing I'm hoping that, assuming Biden's going to come in, I hope the president and Mitch McConnell hook up that machine they've had for getting judges approved. Leave no vacancies. leave no vacancies,
right,
for Joe Biden to fill. Fill every position in the judiciary that you can possibly fill before Inauguration Day.
Good point.
Yeah, very good point. And President Trump talked about that in one of the debates, I think. He couldn't believe that Obama left so many federal judgeships open for he and the Republicans to confirm new judges. But again, everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, and that wasn't going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. That at least that was a conventional wisdom leading up to election night 2016.
By the way, the turning point in this case seems to have been David DeLeiden's video, undercover video of Planned Parenthood selling aborted baby body parts. Both the Texas Department of Human Health and Services and Governor Jindal of Louisiana cited that those undercover videos in their decision to ban funds from Planned Parenthood. So, good job there.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right. Can we go back just a little bit to the election and these mail-in ballots? I know that.
Oh, please. We can't get enough of this.
More bad Man. News, Steve.
I just want. Let me.
I hated the last hour ended because we wanted to keep going on this topic. Go ahead.
Let me just put this out here. We don't have to talk long about it, but I have asked Brent to post an article on our website on the Today's Issues Facebook page of a Red State article that has a link to the actual spreadsheet that shows all the counties in Pennsylvania, the number of registered voters, the number of ballots requested and accepted, and the ballots rejected. This goes to bolster that claim that for some reason every voter in Pennsylvania, with the exception of about 5,000 out of millions, knew exactly how to fill out their absentee ballots. What is usually a 3-6% rejection rate in this election was almost made non-existent. 0.003% of mail-in ballots were rejected. So if you want to see the evidence for yourself, Brent has posted this at our Facebook page. We don't have to necessarily go over it again, but I just wanted to let people know that they
see that. Dad mentioned that earlier in the last hour, and it's unbelievable, because naturally when you have thousands of absentee ballots, you're going to have people who sometimes don't fill it out properly. And I was looking on that sheet you shared with us, Steve, this morning, and there was a county on there.
What's the county? Is that
where, it started with an A. It was on the bottom of the list.
What state was it? Do you remember?
Adams, Allegheny, or Armstrong? This is Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
What was the last one you just said?
Armstrong. It was the one with Allegheny had 918,000 registered voters. Armstrong had 43,000.
Yeah, it was one with 73,000. I forgot the name of it. But my point is, there were 73,000 absentee ballots returned to the county clerk's office, and zero were denied. Yeah. That means they batted 1,000% on filling out their forms right.
Yeah.
That's humanly impossible.
There's high school classes of 10 people that can't even put their name on the top of their test. So you want me to believe that 73,000 people got it right?
None of them are in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Which says that they just accepted any ballots that came in and they weren't scrutinized.
Correct.
That's the point.
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah, York County had 73,826 ballots returned and zero rejections.
That's right. York. That's the one.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Which is impossible.
Right, it's impossible. Yeah. So but they were just taking everything.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry. Ray? Hey, by the way, if I can come back just a minute, I was looking this up while we were talking about other topics that Steve deemed important. I'm just picking on you, Steve.
<I know. laughs>
We have a meeting before the show to decide together what stories.
I put check marks
cover.
On the pages, and
yes,
those are the ones I bring
yes,
up.
You do. So I'm just picking.
It's your
on
own
you.
Fault.
That's right. So, what is it? You point one finger at somebody else, three come pointing back at you. Is that what the old saying is?
That's right.
I did want to look at the results from Georgia Senate election on November the 3rd, particularly the race, the jungle primary, as it's called, where four candidates were on the ballot, two Democrats, two Republicans, and then the top two, if nobody receives 50%, move to a runoff, which is what we're talking about in January. So in the election night in Georgia, Raphael Warnock, who's the pastor there, who's to the left of Bernie Sanders, he got 32.9% or 33% of the vote. The other Democrat got 6.6. So if you just go on this and say, okay, 33% plus 7%, let's just say that's 40%, right? Am I right?
Right.
So the Democrats got roughly 40% of the vote in one of the Senate runoffs in a state that Biden barely won, if you believe the numbers.
Right.
Okay. The certified numbers, I should say, show Biden winning by, what, 15,000, 12,000? 12,000 votes, I think it was. So the Republican, the combined vote, was Kelly Loeffler and Doug Collins. The combined vote was 46%.
45.9, right?
Yes. Are we splitting hairs here, Steve?
Steve? We splitting hairs, Steve. Steve?
Barney's splitting hairs over
there. There you go.
Okay. So 46%. So it was 46% to 40%, basically, Republicans over Democrats in the Senate race. There in, I don't know where the other 4%, maybe there's some Libertarian or Green Party or somebody independent.
There's dozens of candidates actually that ran.
Oh, whether that's the expression jungle,
right?
Jungle primary. But if you go on that, the Republicans should win handily,
right,
in the upcoming election. But again, we all know the money that's pouring in to the state of Georgia to support the Democrats. So the Republicans are getting money too. But let me ask you guys this. I don't want to spend too long on this, but this candidate for the Democrats, Pastor Warnock, as I said, it's not unfair to describe him to the left of Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's right there with Bernie Sanders. And on the BLM type stuff, he's to the left of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he gets such? Why do you think he's even at the top of the ticket over there? That's just.
Let me go.
Go ahead. First. Yeah, I'm just surprised.
I think it's just a sign of where the Democrat Party is going. I mean,
okay.
I think there's. I'm not talking about their voters necessarily, although it takes voters to get him in the position he's in, but especially the party influencers are moving in that direction of being radical. So he's another example of the way that party's moving.
Ray, any thoughts on this?
Well, he certainly, you know, is he the one who's the pastor of the church there in
Ebenezer Baptist Church?
He's the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Okay,
yes.
So there's a great inroads into the black community, which is very strong, very populous in around the Atlanta area. So he's going to get a big share of that vote. And I think it's just a picture, as Walker said, of how far left. A year ago we were talking how the Democrats seem to be tripping over themselves to see who could get the furthest to the left. Well, now we know this is it. This is how far they can get. He's really far to the left, and he at least has a chance to win.
If right? he was a white lefty pastor, he wouldn't get 20% of the vote.
He wouldn't even be on the ballot.
He wouldn't even be on the ballot.
Right.
So I think this fellow is just trying to – he's just – saying, hey, I'm an African-American, every African-American, to bar Joe Biden's, you ain't black if you don't vote for Democrats.
Right.
And if you don't vote for me. So I don't think he'll win, but I know the Republicans are taking it very seriously, the challenge.
Now, which is the one going up against Purdue, and which is the one going up against Kelly?
Warnock is going up against Kelly Loeffler and the other Ossoff is going against Purdue.
And Purdue Purdue almost got to 50% anyway on November the 3rd. Right? I mean, he's pretty close to not even having to get in the runoff.
He was a couple of ballot harvesting.
We need one 3 a.m. delivery.
He was a U-Haul away.
That's right.
From not having to have a runoff.
That's so true.
He was 0.3 percentage points. But if you just look at this based on Georgia, traditionally, it's a red state. And the Republicans should win. They are favored to win both of these Senate races. Now, nobody's taking it for granted, as we all know, but they should win. The Republicans should win both based on what happened November 3rd. Even though Biden won the state by 12,000 votes, and the Republicans still did really well, I think, that night on the Senate election. And I think that now, what was the challenger's name there? Not Warnock, the other fellow?
Ossoff.
Ossoff came very close.
John Ossoff.
I mean, he was like a couple points behind.
He came in at 47.9, and like you said, Purdue came in with 49.7.
Yeah, it was very close. Yeah. It was very close. Purdue, of course, is the incumbent.
Yes, there. As is, by the way, Loeffler. Kelly Loeffler is also an incumbent.
Right. Now, she was appointed.
She was.
She was appointed by the governor there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
I want to tell our listeners a little bit about a very disturbing new documentary that's going to be showing on HBO. It's called Transhood, and it's a takeoff. The name is a takeoff on the word childhood, because this is a series that explores and follows four children who claim, or whose parents claim, that they are transgender. One of them is 4 years old when this series starts, and it is beyond disturbing, I've got to tell you. What's clear from watching this, and I haven't, but I'm reading those who have, is that these four families have something in common. They have fathers who are absent or non-involved. They have mothers who are activists, and they have kids who are confused, and sometimes not even really buying into the fact that their gender has changed, or is trying to be changed. So I don't know. It what do you do? You can't make them not show it, but what you're watching, if you watch or if someone watches this, they're seeing child abuse live or recorded. Because when a mom of a four-year-old tells the four-year-old that you're a girl when he's actually a boy, and puts all kinds of rainbow plush animals and stuff on his bed at 4 years old, dresses him in a dress, the four-year-old's not really deciding much on his own at this point.
Hey, conversely, I know we're talking about what HBO's doing. Conversely, we here at American Family Association released the In His Image documentary online. And I'm trying to find out how many views it's had as of today. Walker, do you know?
Yeah, I looked it up real quick.
How many views it's had of today. But this is in response to all this garbage and propaganda you see in pop culture, particularly the media, advancing this LGBTQ cause, all right? And what we've done in this documentary, inhisimage.movie, you need to go there. It's free to watch. How many people have watched it?
300, over 300. It's been viewed over 330,000 times.
330,000 times.
It's only been out about a month.
Yeah, it's been out maybe a month at the most, I think. And 330, I'm seeing it right now. So what you need to do, folks, is go to inhisimage.movie, and you can watch the trailer there for free. Well, you can watch the film for free, the documentary for free. But it is just one person after another. It's very compelling. It's not a just talking heads. It's a story of how people's lives have been changed by the power of God through Jesus Christ, and it has several stories about people who were confused in this transgendered lifestyle, and or they thought they were a man, but they thought they were a woman, that kind of thing, and then God reached down and saved them. It's one story after another. It's very hopeful. It's a very positive, hopeful, encouraging message on here. You need to go watch it, inhisimage.movie.
Our documentary is the antidote to HBO's documentary.
Yes, that's my point.
Right. Yes.
That's my point. Check it out. And we're getting prayer requests off that. There's a place on there to submit a prayer request on our inhisimage.movie, and we've gotten several thousand people that have written us saying, please pray for me, I'm struggling with this, or please pray for my nephew, or please pray for my prodigal. I mean, this is touching people all over the country and all over the world, quite frankly, this issue. And Jesus Christ is the answer, and we point people in that direction within his image. Go ahead, Steve.
Let's talk about masks for a second. I know there's a lot of people in this country that are saying they don't want to wear masks, that it's bad to wear masks, that it's a take away your freedom. But I found somebody who loves to wear her mask. I don't know the name of this woman, but she really is in love with wearing masks. And I just want her to tell you why. Listen to cut 7.
I was wearing my mask because I just got back from a full day of being a good person. I love my mask because it's a simple yet effective way to display my righteousness. Am I concerned that I'm contributing to an impending socialist technocracy that will enslave the global population? Not even a little bit. And why am I not concerned, you ask? I'm not concerned because I decided a long time ago that shallow, insignificant gestures are a much easier way to showcase my morality than actually being moral. Because in order to be a real good person, I gotta stand up to a real bad person. And I don't like standing up to or for anything. I've decided that it's much easier to trick my own mind into thinking compliance is a virtue instead of what compliance actually is. Cowardice. I prefer to pretend history never repeats itself so that I can stand by and turn a blind eye every time history repeats itself. I prefer to call anyone who speaks up, fights back, or stands their ground a lunatic or a conspiracy theorist so that I don't feel obligated to do my own research. Research takes away from me time.
She loves her mask.
Is that the same lady who did the, she does these parodies?
I don't know.
Where did you find that?
I found it on my Twitter feed. I think I might have, Brent, did I send you a link to that or not?
No, you didn't.
Well, I will.
She's good, whoever that is.
Yeah.
If I recognize her voice, I think she has done one on the Democrats.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Yeah, like a parody.
We need to find out because I know there are people listening who want to watch that.
Yeah.
As soon as you get that, will you put it on our
Will send it immediately to Brent as soon as I find it.
Okay, yeah. put it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Because she's a comic genius, that lady.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, we've got a new climate czar.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that.
His name is John Kerry. By the way, he's the only – this just shows how intelligent the Democrats are. According to this meme that I found, John Kerry, only Democrats could pick a guy with 6 houses, 12 cars, 2 yachts, and a private jet to tell you should take the bus to stop pollution.
Okay, that's good.
That is.
Oh, you got, now, so John Kerry, our new climate change czar, who's supposed to be about – getting rid of carbon emissions, has what now?
Well, according to this, and I know that he has like 6 houses and a yacht, he might have too. This is, I think this is accurate, 6 houses, 12 cars, 2 yachts, and a private jet.
These limousine liberals, they just, it's kind of like Gavin Newsom eating out at a restaurant shoulder to shoulder, no face mask.
I just sent Brent a copy of the YouTube with the love to wear my mask.
I wonder why we're cynical.
Yeah, right.
These people have a king mentality.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make pronouncements for all the little people out there.
Rules
but
for
myself,
me, but not
I'm going to have my I'm going to have my yacht and my private plane all the while telling the little people, if you want to go somewhere, take your bike to save the planet. Good night. All right, thank you, Ray.
And thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Barney.
Frank.
Thank you, Steve.
You're
a professional. Thank you. My thanks to Walker, Brent, Fred, and Frank. See you tomorrow, everybody.